So, my name's Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on the 30th of July, 2009. The time's 2:10, and the interview's taking place in Trafalgar Square, London, for the One Another project. If I could ask you to tell us your name, age, and where you come from, please.
Yes, I'm Joan Gallen. I'm 57, and I'm from Crosby, near Liverpool.
Thank you very much. Can you tell us when it was you first found about the One Another project?
The first thing I knew about it was when I received a mail shot from Artichoke, because I'd been very interested in the La Machine project that was in Liverpool last year for the arts year. And they said that it was opening soon, so I kept my eyes open. And then I got an email saying applications were on the go, so I did. And then half forgot about it, really. And then, lo and behold, I received an email saying I was in. So I was delighted.
Yeah, how did you feel then when you received the email?
A bit shocked, really. I thought, oh gosh, I didn't really expect to. But then again, at that stage, the odds were quite good, I suppose. I think it's something like 9,000 people had applied. And it's really escalated since then. So I think I did the right thing getting in so early.
And what would you say was your motivation to put your name forward?
Well, I really enjoyed La Machine with the Spider in Liverpool, and I thought, well, it's another quirky event, it's a bit unusual, and it's really a unique opportunity to get somewhere that not that many people have been. And I'd been down to London for a weekend and mooched around, and I've started to get to know London since, actually. I've been a few times, and I thought, well, it's nice to feel part of it and just be immortalised in a little way, I suppose.
So what are you going to do when you're up on the plinth?
Well, I've got a large number of chocolates that I'm going to feed to the crowd, and I've had some badges made saying I saw Joan on the plinth, which will give people a souvenir and hopefully spread it further afield. And I had 200 made in the end, so if I ever see one again, I'll know that somebody was actually here to see me, because you've got to be here to get one. So that's basically, I'm going to write some postcards, do the tourist thing, and I brought some bubbles with me in case I have any time left, but I doubt if I'll get around to that as well.
And how was it you got hold of the chocolates?
Well, I wrote to Linton Sprungley and explained what I was doing and said I'd like to feed the crowd, and it obviously captured their imagination, because they rang me the next day and offered me 13 kilos of chocolates. So that's what I'm going to be distributing this afternoon.
So who would you say you're doing this for?
Me. I mean, I don't really relish the idea of being watched, to be quite frank. I just thought, well, I'll get up there and just enjoy the moment, really, just see how it goes. So it's for me.
And can you tell us what it was that captured you with regard to La Machine that you saw in Liverpool?
Well, it was such an ingenious thing. I mean, your brain knew that it was motorised and it was being driven around, but it was just so magical to see it coming around corners and being very mysterious and stealthy. And I was just captivated by it. I was in Liverpool two times, and I saw it going down the tunnel as the final finale as well. That was quite spectacular. So all in all, it was a great experience. It really captured the hearts of the city, I think. Especially mine, anyway. I loved it.
And what kind of impact would you like your hour on the plinth to have?
The main impact, I think, is going to be on me. A bit of a life-changing... Well, life-changing is a bit dramatic, but certainly a changing moment for just being up there and just looking at the world from a fairly... I imagine it's quite quiet up there, really. It's a lot of hurly-burly going on in the square below, but I imagine once you're up there, it's fairly isolated and private almost, even though it's not. And I think that's going to be the main thing I'm going to enjoy about it, sort of being in the centre of London, but in my own little patch, because it's mine for an hour.
And what kind of, I don't know, changes are you expecting then? But when you come down, you kind of mentioned that, you know, it's going to be life-changing of sorts.
Well, perspective, I think, really. Because this is something probably 5 years ago I wouldn't have dreamt of doing. And quite a few people I've spoken to said, oh, that's so far out of my comfort zone, I'd hate it. And it's not in my comfort zone at all. So it's something I'm sort of pushed myself to in a way. So a bit later in life, maybe to have a confidence boost, but I think I will feel a different person afterwards for having done it.
Can you tell us a little bit about you, about your background and what it is you do with your time during the day and your spare time?
Well, I'm a retired teacher. I taught French for 32 years, retired 2 years ago early. And since then, I've done lots of travelling. I've been all over the place, really, a bit manic. The first thing people say to me when they see me these days is, where have you been now? So I do enjoy getting out and about and just seeing the world. in terms of my sort of day-to-day stuff, recently I've had a real push on cultural events. Actually, there seemed to be a glut, not a glut, that sounds negative, a real, you know, load of things to do, ranging from mystery plays in Yorkshire to going down a coal mine to seeing Leonard Cohen on at Liverpool last week. It was absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to see a few other stars singing in the next couple of months as well. So I'm busying myself culturally. In terms of day-to-day stuff, I'm, you know, doing the garden, the sort of things that retired people do, and just enjoying it, getting fit. Generally just enjoying the freedom after such a long time, you know, tied to a quite tight regime in school.
And how was teaching? How did you find teaching in the first instance, and how did you find it doing it?
Initially, I loved it because it was a lot more relaxed when I started, and there weren't so many boxes to tick or papers to fill in or people looking over your shoulder quite so much. And nowadays it's a lot tougher, and the nature of children has definitely changed over the years. A lot more challenging, a lot more difficult. So I was pleased to leave. It was a good job to do, it was enjoyable, it was very satisfying. But I think I've done my stint, so I'm leaving it to the younger generation to move on now.
And you say you're a French teacher.
Yes.
Where did the interest in French come from?
Well, it was something I just enjoyed at school. I was good at it. I went off to university. Did a year living in France as part of my training, which clinched it, really. I thought, I really do enjoy this. I want to pass it on. It led me naturally into teaching. I was originally going to do primary teaching, but fate intervened and there just wasn't a course when I applied. So I got kind of shifted sideways into secondary, and I'm really glad I did.
How was France when you went across? What did you do?
Oh, it was fabulous. I was in a school, actually. I was a French assistant, or an English assistant in France. We have them over here, friends. So I was working with young people, helping them with their English. And I was led astray a little bit because they really were keen to learn English. You know, foreign people, non-English speakers, do really want to learn English because it's the thing, isn't it, at the moment. Not quite so easy teaching French to English people, I have to say. A bit different.
What things would you say are most important to you at the moment now than in life?
My friends. I see a lot of my friends now that I'm not actually working. Well, as long as they can, because they're still working, most of them, quite jealous of me. Keeping healthy. And generally, it sounds very self-indulgent, but being self-indulgent and enjoying myself.
And what hopes and fears do you have?
Hopes and fears? I hope to live a long time, and I hope to have a happy time. Fears. I don't really have any fears that I could conjure up just quickly. I'm a very positive thinker, so I tend not to dwell on the negative sides of things. So, no, life's good at the moment.
And how are you feeling just before you go up on the plinth?
I am very nervous. Although it shouldn't be, as I say, I'm seeing it as a little private event, but obviously, you know, there are going to be people, and quite a few people are going to watch it on the internet as well. So that's a bit intimidating in a way, because obviously you're seen from all angles, you don't quite know what they're seeing at a given moment, so I just have to behave myself, won't I?
And how would you sum up then the whole experience of being part of the One Another project and taking this through with you afterwards?
Very exciting. It is very exciting. I was delighted. Once I got over the shock, I was delighted to be part of it. And I've given it a lot of thought over the time. I've sort of pictured myself up there and thought about it so much, and now it's here. It's really quite amazing. Just very pleased, and it's been very interesting watching other people and their interpretations of what it involves. I was a bit concerned. I did read somewhere that there was somebody commented about it becoming a competition, and I've tried to avoid that element, really. I'm not doing anything to sort of entertain the masses or be an entertainer as such. It's just a few little nice gestures, I hope, you know, giving sweets away, cheer people up, as long as it doesn't rain on me.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.